I'm not sure how esteemed I am. I know I am just a humble brother, you know, just a humble brother. I want to thank everyone for your prayers while my family had traveled on vacation to the Bahamas. We had a wonderful time, we appreciate the prayers. I wanted to take a look at Luke chapter 14. And Luke chapter 14. And it's a parable by our Lord and Savior. And here's what it says. It says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." I would ask the Lord to add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, in the worthy name of Jesus, we humbly approach that throne of grace. Our Father, we want to thank you for this yet another opportunity to come into your house and to minister the word. We'd ask that you just hide me behind the cross and let you deliver the word as you would like me to. And that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will do so today. Amen. So, have you ever thought about how gracious God is to invite everyone at any point in time to fellowship with him? Have you ever thought about how God invites us all at one time or another to come in, to come into his house, to come to his table, and to dine with him? Yes, God invites us to fellowship with him. Yes, God invites us to dine with him. And this is a very interesting parable because we can relate to it, because most of us have received God's invitation to dine with him. And we have all, or many of us, if not all of us, have received God's invitation to fellowship with him. So take a look at verse 15 and 16. And when one of them that sat, I'm sorry, let me see, okay, Luke 14, verse 15, actually 16, then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So we see in verse 16 that God is the person who is sending out the invitation. That's the first thing. God is sending out the invitation. God wants all of us to come and fellowship with him. So the host of this feast is God the Father. And here we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking. And Jesus told those who are listening, the God who created you, the God who gave you life, is inviting you to a banquet. When you receive an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are being invited to a feast of love. Now, what's on the table? There is the bread of life, a bread that satisfies the hunger of all men. There is living water that satisfies the thirst of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And there is the meat of the word of God for all to share. Let's take a look at verse 17. It says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That's very interesting, because the moment is set. The banquet time is now. He tells his servant, tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. God has already prepared everything. God has prepared the meal. God has prepared the banquet table. God has done everything necessary for you to be saved. Not only that, but God has done everything for you and I to enjoy his fellowship. So God tells his servant, make the announcement. Make no delay. Make no excuse. There's no time for discussion. Accept the invitation. Accept the invitation now. Now, back then in antiquity, whenever a banquet was announced, the host gave two invitations. The first invitation was far in advance of the banquet. And the first invitation, there would be a formal invitation. And the reason for the formal invitation was so that the host would know how many people to prepare for. He had to know how much food he needed. He needed to know how many lambs he had to prepare for. He needed to know how much wine he had together. He needed to know how much bread needed to be prepared. He needed to know how many guests to prepare for. Now, right before the feast, he would send his servants to all the persons who accepted the invitation to go out to the invited guests and tell them, the banquet is ready. The time has come. And that's what verse 17 tells us. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that they were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So we also see in verse 17 that there's a second invitation. The second invitation was a reaffirmation. It was a confirmation. Yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'm coming to the banquet. So it's important to know from this parable that God invites all of us to his banqueting table. And he invites all of us to enjoy salvation and everlasting fellowship with him. So God is extending an invitation to every single person who doesn't know Jesus Christ in this room today. And God invites everyone to come and dine with him. And God is saying right now, the time is now. So God's invitation is to every human being. So when you hear the gospel, you should say yes. Everyone has received God's invitation. And you should accept it now, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. As Jesus was talking to the group, he also said that many will reject God's offer of fellowship. Jesus said many will reject God's offer of salvation. Now look at the turn of events. The banquet is about to begin. The doors of the banquet house are now open. The host is standing at the door. He is waiting for the guests. The table is set. The table is ready. The best silverware is on the table. The platters are filled with steak and lamb. The platters are overflowing with fruits and vegetables. The carafes are filled with wine. But no guests arrive. No guests arrive. Without looking at it first, what he was saying to the host was, well, let's take a look at the verse 18. Because what we're going to see is that the guests, one by one, made excuses for not attending the banquet. And the excuses were rather lame ones. They were really bad. They were really sometimes even made up. Read verse 18. And they were all with one consent being to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now this guest had a problem with his money. He said, I bought a piece of property, and I have not seen it yet. Now who buys a piece of land sight unseen? What he was saying to the host was, I love my property, I love my money more than I love you. Do you know what this man's problem was? He didn't want to come. And his excuse was his wealth. Then you have verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now this man's problem with his work, this man's problem with his business, this man was a businessman. He bought 5 yoke of oxen, but yet he could only work 1 or 2 yoke of oxen at any one time, but this man was more concerned about running a business. And many people are like this. I'm too busy working. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm not excited about spending time with God. And this man was even worse, because it says, I have bought animals, but I haven't even looked at them yet. Now who buys a car and doesn't examine it first? His problem was that he didn't want to go to the banquet. His problem was that he didn't want to fellowship with God. Then you have verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now I found this one very interesting. The last man blamed his inability to come to the banquet on his wife. He said, my wife will not let me come. Now, who ever heard of a wife not wanting to go to a banquet? Who ever heard of a wife not wanting to go shopping for a new pair of Valentino or Jason Wu dress? Who ever heard of a wife that didn't want to go and buy some Valentino shoes, a trip to the hairdresser to be pampered, all to attend a banquet and make a public showing, socialize, hobnob with the other ladies in the community? Who ever heard of that? Who ever heard of a wife that wouldn't want to go out for dinner to be served dinner and not have to cook that night? No, his wife was not the problem. He just didn't want to spend time with God. So what is the moral of the parable? Well, the moral of the parable is there is no reason, there's no excuse to refuse God's invitation to his banqueting table. You know, some people are going to stand before the white throne judgment of Christ, and Jesus is going to ask them, do you remember that sermon you heard on the Great Supper? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember that you were invited to take your place at the table? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember how I appealed to you to give your heart to me? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember how you sat there and did nothing? Yes, Jesus. Why didn't you come? I wasn't ready. No excuse. I didn't want to walk down in front of all those people or raise my hand in front of that large crowd at Good Tidings. No excuse. I wasn't ready to change my lifestyle. No excuse. I don't want to give all that I had for salvation. No excuse. It's very interesting, this parable. Because Jesus is not saying that there's anything wrong with wealth. The Bible teaches it is the Lord, your God, that gives you the power and the blessings to acquire wealth. There's nothing wrong with having a wife. The Bible teaches that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Jesus said, these are all excuses. And many will reject God's invitation to fellowship with him. But there's good news. But there's good news. Look at verse 21. So that servant came. And showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So the host was very angry. And it's very interesting because, you know, back in antiquity, back in those days in the Middle East, it's not like America. If someone was gracious enough to invite you to their house, and you said yes at the first invitation, and then at the second invitation, you said, no, I can't make it, it was considered an insult. It was the type of insult that could have started a war. So I asked the question, how much more insulted should your Creator be when he makes you the invitation and you reject it? You know, God loves you so much that he invites you to his banqueting table. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to be crucified, to be the sacrificial lamb of God, so that you and I could be saved and have everlasting life. And then you respond, no thanks. I'm not interested. So the host said in verse 21, So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So Jesus was saying, there are people out there who are spiritually poor. There are people out there who have never experienced the spiritual riches of Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying that we, every believer in this room, needs to invite them to the banquet. Jesus was saying to us as believers that there are people out there who are spiritually disabled. Jesus was saying to each and every believer in this room that there are people out there who are spiritually crippled by sin. Jesus was saying that there are people in the world who are living in spiritual darkness, and we need to invite them to the banquet. So it is the servant who is now extending the invitation to this group of people. Because in verse 21 we read, "So the servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." So it is the servant who is now extending the invitation to this group of people. Who is the servant? The servant is you and I. If you know Jesus, you are the servant. If you are born again, you are the servant. Pure evangelism. So why the highways? The highways represent the cities. Why the hedges? The hedges represent the country. The invitation is to everyone. Who is the servant? You and I. What is the entree? The entree is salvation. What is the cost? The cost is the blood of Jesus Christ. Payment? The payment is the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I ask the question, have you been to the banquet? The invitation is being made. The invitation is yours. And so if you're sitting here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, I'm inviting you to the banquet. There's a table reserved with your name on it. So I ask the question, will you come this morning? All you have to do is say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe you died at the cross of Calvary to save me, and I believe that God raised you from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart. That's all you've got to do. So with everyone with their eyes closed, heads bowed, I would just ask if there's anyone in here who said that prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you are my Lord, my Savior. And I ask that you would save me. If you said that simple little prayer, I just ask you to raise your hand. Because God is watching. He's standing there with his arms wide open at the banqueting table. And all the believers in this room will tell you what a fabulous banquet life is. Once you know Jesus, he wakes you up in the morning. He's with you all day long. He talks to you. He walks with you. And he just loves and guides you and protects you from danger, seen and unseen. And even though there's some rough roads at times, he just takes you. Take you on the roads like you're driving a Cadillac. You don't feel much. You know it's there, but you don't feel much. So I ask you if there's one in this room that'd like to accept him. All you can do is raise your hand. Well, if you don't want to raise your hand now, if you want to talk to me or any of the other brethren, we'd be more than happy to talk to you, to show you how you can come to know Jesus. You can come to know what it means to be born again. Amen.